Welcome to a message from Oasis Church. For more information about Oasis Church and how you can get connected, please visit myoasischurch.com. Here's Pastor Mark Pearl. Enjoy the message.
Why don't we find 2 Corinthians, the second chapter today. 2 Corinthians chapter 2. And we're going to talk about something I haven't preached on in a long time, but it's all in the Bible. We don't want it if it's not, right? I don't have a Reader's Digest with me this morning to preach from, so I'm going to use the Bible. Is that all right?
Yes.
I'm going to talk to you about the dangers of unforgiveness.
All right.
I just really felt that in my spirit this morning to do that. So 2 Corinthians, go there. And verse 10, Paul, talking to the church, he said, "To whom you forgive anything, I forgive also. For if I forgave anything, to whom I forgave it, for your sakes, forgave I it in the person of Christ, lest Satan should get an advantage of us. For we are not ignorant of his devices." Paul here talked about forgiveness, and he talked about forgiving. And he said, we do this because if we don't, Satan will get an advantage of us. He'll get an advantage of us. Now, even though we have authority, and even though we have God's blessing on our life, we can still do things that will give the devil an advantage in our life. And we don't want to do that. Amen. And one of those things, which we're going to spend just a little bit of time talking about this morning, is on the area of unforgiveness. Do I dare ask, has anybody ever been done wrong? And if you said no, how old are you? I mean, the first thing that happens is a doctor slaps you. Now, Jesus warned us that in this life, there's going to be offenses. There's going to be. And so we have to learn how to deal with that according to what the Bible says. And I think it's important to say this because people get funny ideas about forgiveness. You know, there are some violations that people do that are more serious than other violations. All right. All right, Phyllis burnt my toast this morning. I've already forgiven her. Praise the Lord. I mean, that's not a violation, right? And see, some of the things that happen in our lives, you know, if you've been married for a while, you've probably had a disagreement or two. I'm just saying, you know what I mean? Probably one or two, right? All right. You have to just let stuff go because I tell you, men, you need to learn from your pastor. And I have just learned this, that if my wife says I'm wrong, there's a 99.999% chance that's true. I don't say that in any kind of humility. I'm just saying that by experience. I've learned. And so when she says, no, that wasn't the way it was, it's like, that wasn't the way it was, because she says it wasn't the way it was. You know what I'm saying. So there's, but then, you know, there's sometimes major offenses that take place. And I think people need to understand that I can forgive somebody, but we may not be in relationship now. All right. Because maybe you violated something that maybe we can't repair that, but I can drop the whole thing. I can drop it, right? It's like, If I go to your house and I get out of my vehicle and your dog bites me, I mean, you know, I can forgive your dog. You know what I'm saying? I'm not going to put poison in his food bowl. But I'm probably not going to come back to your yard again. Because I just get bit again. And so you have to understand that. All right, so we're clear with that when we talk about this because I've heard people say that to forgive is to forget. Well, only God has the ability to not remember. Amen. Only God and guys who go to the grocery store have the ability not to remember, right? We come back with all kinds of stuff that was not on the list. And the wife goes, where's the list? I don't know where the list is at. I lost the list. It's behind the beanie weenies. How many understand that's not so? But we can drop things. We can just drop it and let it go. Drop it, let it go. I'm not after you. I don't harbor any ill feelings towards you. I drop it. I let it go. I may not be able to be in a relationship with you, at least not right now, but I'm not holding anything against you. Amen. And so we're going to talk about some of these things this morning. I think it's going to help us today to understand this and to kind of clear up some things, because there's been things that's been taught, you know, just like well-meaning, but, you know, Christians that said when 9/11 happened, that we should just forgive those terrorists and not do anything about it. I mean, that is just totally not what the Bible's teaching. Amen. So we just make sure that there's another side to this coin. Amen. All right. But listen now. He said that Satan could get an advantage of it. Ephesians tells us this. Be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. I mean, there's things that make you angry, right? But the Bible says, let go of it. Don't let the sun go down on your lap. Let go of it. Amen. And then it goes on and says, neither give place to the devil. So when we hang on to things, it gives the devil advantage. It gives him place. There are people that have really died before their time because they wouldn't let go of things. They just stayed bitter. I've seen that happen. I've experienced that, not myself personally, but when I say experience, seen it with, I'm thinking of a family member that just wouldn't let some things go that happened in the past. And, you know, someone said this one time, I love this saying. They said, you probably have heard this, they said that, you know, unforgiveness is like you drinking poison and you hope it hurts the other person. That's powerful, isn't it? Amen? Right? One of my heroes of faith, I have some heroes of faith. One of my heroes of faith is, she's in heaven now, but a lady by the name of Corrie Ten Boom. Now, she's a hero to me because of what she went through and how her life turned out. If you don't know her story, I'll give you just a little bit of it. She was, during World War II, lived in Holland, in the Netherlands. And her and her family, because, you know, the Nazis had invaded the Netherlands and they were taking all the Jews to concentration camps. But Miss Ten Boom and her family, her father, who was a watchmaker, she lived with him, she was a young lady, and her sisters, and her mom, they hid Jews. They would hide them from the Nazis. They had a secret room in their house where they would put them, all right, to hide them. And I forget now, I saw the number once, but they hundreds of Jewish people they saved, okay? But one day, a neighbor, told on them, snitched on them, that knew something was going on. And then the Nazis came and they took Corrie and her sister, her mother, her father to concentration camps. Corrie ended up, and her sister, in Ravensbrück. And Corrie's sister, mother, father all died there. And Corrie would have died there, but God had another plan for her. And you know, they would tattoo a number on their arm, and that's what they went by. You know, that this is prisoner 074321. So she had a tattoo on her arm. So they decided, the Nazis decided, they were going to release certain of their prisoners, but Corrie was not going to be one of them. But somehow there was a clerical error, and somebody typed the wrong number in, and it was her number, and they set her free. So it was a God thing. But instead of being bitter, she went about being better. Hallelujah. And she went about preaching God's love and His forgiveness. Now, she said some really powerful things about forgiveness, you know, because, you know, forgiveness is not a feeling. It's a decision. She said this about this. I was going to bring I have a piece of paper with some of her quotes, but I didn't bring it. But I did. I do have some. She said this. She says, forgiveness is an act of the will. Now listen to this. It's an act of the will. And the will can function regardless of the temperature of the heart. Isn't that good? Forgiveness is an act of the will. And a will can your will can function regardless of the temperature of your heart. I may not have warm and fuzzies towards you right now, but I can still forgive you. How many know that? Right? I think one thing she said, you know, to forgive is to set a prisoner free. And when you forgive, you find the prisoner was you. But she told a story one time, and I really like this. I've got it on my iPad saved. But she told a story. It's a long story. I can't tell the whole thing. But she was. She thought she was over all that because they. If you want to know more about her, just watch the film The Hiding Place, or read the book The Hiding Place. I'm telling you, our generation needs to know. They need to know what happened. Amen. And not get it from the media. But they need to know what really happened. And the people that know what really happened are the people that lived through it. That's who know. Right. Amen. See, they'll tell you anything. But my dear friend, Pastor Ingoff, who's a friend of this house, has told me more than once when he comes here, he sees the same spirit trying to get a hold of America that got a hold of Germany. And we got politicians that are pushing that. And we need to wake up. Amen. So, she was speaking one time at, I think it was at a church. And she said, I'm speaking to this church. She says, I noticed there's kind of a chubby, bald-headed guy sitting in the back. Which, God's not against that.
No.
I just thought I'd let you know. He has a lot of chubby, bald-headed guys he loves. One guy in our church, he's in heaven now. He's in heaven now. But he told me, he said, they only put marble tops on fine furniture. Brother Don told me that. How many remember Brother Don when he was here? He's in heaven now. Amen. He wasn't he something else? You know what? When I preached his funeral, you know, the funeral, the scripture I used was the one in Acts where it says Paul was a pestilent fellow. Having no Don well enough to know that was a perfect fit for him. I mean, when Don showed up, two things are going to happen. One or two things, revival or riot. But it wasn't going to stay the same. Well, I used that scripture, remind me where I'm talking about Corey Ten Boom, but I used that scripture at his funeral and preached that he was a pestilent fellow, you know. The one translation said he had a plague, but he had a good plague. How many know that? A godly plague. He was a godly pest.
Yeah.
When I got done, I just seemed like it fit. And I did it in a way was, you know, I didn't want it to be offensive or anything. But when I got done, his family came up to him and said, that was perfect. That's exactly, because he pestered them too. That's exactly what he was like. Amen. But, you know, he pestered you for God. How many know that? You know, amen. But Corey was preaching in this church, and she saw this guy back there, and she said after the service was over that he came up and he said, I am one of the guards at Ravensbrook. I was one of your captors. And he said, I found Jesus Christ, and I'm saved now. And he reached out his hand to shake her hand, and she said, I couldn't get my hand out there. So all that came back. See what I'm saying? It didn't mean the feelings were gone. Now she's got a decision to make. Am I going to forgive this man? And she reached out and she finally took his hand, but she didn't really want to. And she said that bothered her, and that she still had that. Yet she had chosen to forgive. And she said that sometime later she met a Lutheran pastor, and she told him about it. She said, she was just asking for help. He said, Corey, he said, you see that bell up there? You know, remember how churches used to have bells? She said, see that bell up there? He said, the sexton will ring that bell. That was the guy they called the guy that rang a sexton. He will ring that bell. And he said, when he lets go of that rope, that bell still rings for a while. He said, but it's slowing down. He said, forgiveness is letting go of the rope. There may still be some dings and dongs, but it's going to slow down. How many have ever been through that and you know that's the truth? If you make the decision, the dings and dongs will slow down. If you don't make the decision, it'll just keep dinging and donging all along. You got to make the decision. I'm letting go of the rope. That's what forgiveness is. It's letting go of the rope. I'm letting go of that rope. Why? Because one thing, you're only hurting yourself. And the Bible says Satan gets an advantage of us when we do that. Because, listen, God is big into forgiveness. Remember the Lord's Prayer? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Come on, do I have any good Catholics in here? Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Come on, Pastor Jerry, you don't know this. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. And when he got done, he said, if you don't forgive men, their trespasses, right? He talked about it some more. He said, when you pray, forgive men their trespasses. If you, So there we see in the Lord's Prayer, Jesus incorporated forgiveness in the Lord's Prayer. That's how important it is to God. I'll tell you, our God, I love the psalm. I think it's Psalm 86:5, said he is ready to forgive. He's ready to. There's a story, I think we'll look at it this morning in just a little bit, but in Matthew about this. Matter of fact, let's just go over there and look at that. Is that all right? Let's go there to Matthew 18. Let's just talk about this story that Jesus gave us. Amen. Matthew chapter 18. I want us to read this. It's a few verses, but I think it'd be good for us to read it this morning. Matthew 18. And I want you to understand, okay, when we talk about forgiveness, you know, there's some things that you should just not even consider. People think, I've got to forgive every little thing. Some things shouldn't bother you that much that you have to forgive it. Just let it go. You understand that? Just don't even make a deal out of it. Just realize that you've done dumb things. And people do dumb things. You've done things. You've said things and you shouldn't have said. Amen. And people do too. You shouldn't be struggling with that. You ought to have so much of God in you that you just let that go. Amen. I had a friend from years ago call me. It's been quite a while back. He calls me. And he was a guy I did drugs with and all and stuff. After I got to be about, I guess in my 30s, I started putting on some weight, or 40s. You know how it is. You can't eat like you did when you were 17. And I lost that weight, and I put it on. But this is a period where it was back on, kind of like it is now. But it's coming off. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. I said to the mountain, move. Hallelujah. But how many of you got to do more than just talk to this mountain? You got to quit feeding the mountain. But he calls me up. One of the first things he says to me, you still fat? You know, my thoughts are, it's a good thing you're in Colorado when I'm in Indiana. What a way to start a conversation. But this guy was that way. His name was, well, we won't name him. You remember Brad. He was just that way. He could get in trouble really quick with his mouth. But we were friends. And you know what? Stuff like that, you just got to let it go. How many know that? Well, I ain't letting that go. Well, you say dumb things too. What are you supposed to do, guys, by the way, when your wife says, does this make me look fat? How many, you can't, yeah, say no. Then you can repent. Right? Don't say something dumb like, no, it's not the dress that makes you fat, it's your body. I'm moving right along. Praise the Lord. You got to be smarter than that, right? It's like, oh, gosh. Find Matthew 18. All right. Look what Jesus said, verse 21. Then came Peter to him, Matthew 18, 21. Then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? How many of this was on Peter's mind, right? Yeah. He'd be the one to think about it, right?
Yeah.
You know, he's the one that cut Malchus's ear off, the servant of the high priest. Amen. So Peter said, how? He probably thought the Lord would say, a couple. The Lord said, Peter said, till seven times. Now, see, he thought that's big. That's big. Seven times? My gosh. Eight times, he's dead. Jesus said unto him, I say not unto you till seven times, but till 70 times seven. Ain't got any mathematicians in here? How many is that? How many is that? How many know if you got a friend that sins against you 490 times in one day, you ought to get a new friend? But Jesus said, forgive him, right? Therefore, verse 23, is the kingdom of heaven like? This is what the kingdom of heaven is like. How many in the kingdom of heaven? This is what it's like. It's unto a certain king which take account of his servants. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him which owed him 10,000 talents. Now that 10,000 talents is an astronomical amount. It's like, yeah, you know, one thing, I saw one thing, and I don't know how you figure this, but if you go back and figure, you know, from the English standard, from the imperial standard, that was probably around tens of millions of dollars that he owed his master. But for as much as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, his wife, his children, all that he had, in payment to be made. The servant therefore fell down and worshiped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I'll pay you all. And the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion, loosed him, and forgave him the debt. I mean, that's what Jesus did for us.
Yes.
We had an insurmountable debt that we owed God. We couldn't pay it. Remember the old song, he paid a debt? He did not owe. He paid. Excuse me. You got it? See, I know that song. He paid a debt he did not owe. I owed a debt I could not pay. Isn't that the truth?
Yes.
Think about it. You couldn't save yourself.
No.
You couldn't forgive yourself.
No.
But he wiped it out. He wiped it out. And it cost the precious blood of Jesus.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Now notice verse 28. He said, but the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants which owed him 100 pence. Now that's just like 100 days' wages. Just a small amount. He laid hands on him, took him by the throat, saying, pay me what you owe. His fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, have patience with me, and I'll pay you all. And notice this. Where the master forgave all, right? He had compassion for God. Verse 30 says, he wouldn't do it. But he went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they came and were very sorry, and they came and told him their Lord all that was done. Then his Lord, after that he had called him, said to him, O you wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you desired me to. Should you not also have had compassion on your fellow servant, even as I have pity on thee? See, what does the Lord expect? After all he's forgiven us, he expects us to do it in return. Do it in return. And his Lord, verse 34, was wroth, and notice this, delivered him to the tormentors. Delivered him to the tormentors. That's crazy. Isn't this crazy quiet in here? But that's the Bible. Well, I don't believe that. I'm a Word of Faith guy. Well, Word of Faith people ought to believe the whole Bible, not just the parts that they like. You understand? I've been preaching on faith for over 40-some years, but I still believe other parts of the Bible. Amen. One guy was trying to teach. I told Phil, I like his guy. I mean, he's been around for years. He's trying to teach how it wasn't God that rained fire and brimstone down on Sodom and Gomorrah. It was the devil. Okay. But it says the Lord did it. Right? Amen. All right. Moving right along here. He said his Lord was wroth with him and delivered him to the tormentors. How many know the tormentors today are the demons? Till he should pay all that was due. Now notice this, so likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if you from your hearts forgive not everyone his brother their trespasses. That's the Bible, folks. See, what's the Bible say where envy and strife is? There's confusion in every what? Evil work, every demonic work, where there's this unforgiveness, there's this bitterness, and you hang on to it. There's every evil work, there's demons, there's tormentors that are involved in that. But Jesus said, where two or three are gathered in my name in unity, there am I. So when we're in disunity, when we're in strife, who's there? Satan and the devils. That's what Jesus is saying by this, that, you know, if you don't forgive, you don't understand, if you don't do it like God does, then you're in trouble. Amen? You're in trouble. Luke 17, go there. Come on, did you get anything this morning? One of the things, as we turn there and we'll close here, but one of the things that Jesus said that would stop faith that he indicated, he said, have faith in God. And he said, you know, whoever says to this mountain, then he said, when you pray, believe you receive. But right after he got done, he said, and if you have aught against any, if you have aught against any, how many know aught is anything? Anything. If you have aught against any, forgive that your Father which is in heaven may forgive you your trespasses. But if you don't forgive, neither will your Father forgive you. That's the New Testament, folks. That's the Bible. That's red letter. You can try to wipe it out of there, but it's still in there. You can try to, you know, Greek it out, but it's still in there. Amen. I see sometimes preachers try to Greek things out and change the whole thing. Like, I'll find a version somewhere that says what I wanted to say. How many just stick with what Jesus said? He said, if you don't forgive, he's not forgiving you. So we had to let go of things, right? That doesn't mean we're back in a relationship. I've had things over the past that maybe, you know, I forgave them, but I really don't want to, you know, I don't want to be their friend, that close of friend to them any longer because you can't trust them. Now, if they change, that's different, right? Amen. Now, here in Luke chapter 17, let's go there and we'll close. I hope you got something out of this morning besides just me just talking, but you're getting something. Look at this, Luke 17, verse 1. It says, Then said he unto the disciples, it's impossible what offenses will come, but woe to him through whom they come. In other words, they're going to come. They're going to come. How many of us Christians shouldn't be doing it, causing it, but they're going to come. It were better for you that a millstone were hanged about your neck and cast into sea than that you should offend one of these little ones. I mean, this is, I mean, what would you think about that? If you came to Pastor Jesus' office and he you said, you know, I'm really ticked off at brother or sister so in the church and I'm going to let them have it and I'm just going to give them a piece of my mind. And he said, well, wait a minute. He said, wait a minute. He gets this big old stone and says, put this around your neck and go jump in the river. Ain't that just about what, pardon the English, but ain't that just about what he just said? He said the sea, river will work just as well. He said, millstone, concrete block will work. We tie enough concrete blocks on you, you're sinking.
Yeah. Yeah.
So if you see Pastor Chuck and I tie concrete blocks on somebody and they're dragging them out the front door, you'll know what happened.
Yeah.
They were going to offend one of you people. We're going to throw them in the rear. All right, come on, that's a joke. Isn't that what Jesus said?
Yeah.
That's what he said. He's pretty strong, right? Wasn't he? He was just one of these great, friendly preachers. You know what I'm talking about? What do they call them? Seeker-friendly preachers. No, he wasn't that at all. Have me know that. He just tell you. All right. But notice what he said. He said, it's going to happen. People are going to offend you. He said, but take heed to yourself.
Yeah.
Notice he didn't say watch them. He said watch yourself that this doesn't get inside of you. This is a snare of the devil to take you out. He said, if your brother trespasses against you, rebuke him. And if you repent, forgive him. If he trespasses against you seven times a day and seven times a day, again, say, I repent, forgive him. Notice what the apostles said. The apostles said, Lord, increase our faith.
Yeah.
My gosh.
Yeah.
I mean, what I'm saying, they offend us once. We might forget about it, but twice, we're a whack-em. He said, forgive them. And the apostles said, give us more faith. If we're going to do this, increase. How many? That's what they're saying.
Yeah.
Give us more faith. Notice what Jesus said. Jesus said, if you had faith as a grain of mustard seed, I mean, that's real small. You might say to this sycamine tree, be plucked up by the root, be thou planted to see, and it should obey you. In other words, he's saying, faith isn't your problem. It's not your problem. Notice what he's getting ready to tell them what the issue is with this. See, in verse 7, he says, they don't need more faith, but here's what they need to do, verse 7 through verse 10. But which of you, having a servant plowing or feeding cattle, will say to him by and by when he's come in from the field, go and sit down to eat. And will not rather say unto him, make ready wherewith I may eat, then gird yourself and serve me after I've eaten and I've drunken. Afterward you can eat and drink. Does he thank that servant because he did those things which were commanded him? No, I don't think so. So likewise, you. Everybody say me.
Me.
Jesus is telling what we got to do, right?
Yep.
You. So, when you have done all those things which are commanded you, say, we are unprofitable servants. We've done that which was our duty to do. What is the story here? He's simply saying, when he told them, forgive, and they said, we need more faith, he said, you don't need more faith. He said, you need to obey the command. It's your duty to do it. Why is it our duty to do it? Because God forgave us. That's what the Bible says. As Christ hath forgiven you, forgive one another. Amen? So it's not a matter. Listen, once again, I want to close with this. It's not a matter of feelings. It's a matter of the will. It's a decision. Amen? It's like that Lutheran pastor told Corey Ten Boom. It's letting go of the rope. Let go of it. Let it go. Right? You're driving down the expressway. Somebody gives you a salute. Don't chase them to their house. Let it go. Just let it go. Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. Didn't Jesus say that? What did Stephen say? Lay not this charge against them when they were going to stone him. See, those are our examples, isn't it? The Apostle Paul, how many know he had a group of people that traveled with him? Luke, John Mark, others, help me out. Barnabas, Timothy, Titus, different ones that traveled with him. You read 2 Timothy, I think it's the fourth chapter. He said when he first got in trouble at his first trial, they all boogied. Everybody split. Why? They didn't want to get in trouble. Listen to what he said. He said, may it not be laid against their charge. They had a bad day. Anybody ever had a bad day? Oh, I'm faith guy. I never had a bad day. Come on. Anybody ever had a bad day where you weren't as sweet as you should be? Amen. It's like an evangelist friend of mine said, someone asked him, do you ever wake up grumpy? He said, no, I just let her sleep. That's what he said. I mean, we all have days, and we need to recognize people have days sometimes. Right? One time I was going through a drive-thru. Yeah, well, no. I think there's a scripture in there that says someplace, it's not good for man to go through drive-thrus. And this young lady was not very nice. So I had, between the speaker and the window, Travis, I'd made up my mind, I'm going to tell her about this. I'm going to correct this young lady. And as I was driving up there, I heard this. I didn't hear an audible voice, but I heard this in my spirit. Everybody has a right to have a bad day. It stopped me. And I got to thinking, I don't know what happened in this young lady's life. She may just got a call that her husband's been cheating on her. And here I am, Mr. Christian, Mr. Righteous, Mr. Big Puff Pastor. And I'm going to go blow up on her and make her day worse. I mean, that's just not right. I'd like to tell you I'm smart enough not to do that, but the Holy Ghost had to help me, and he had to arrest me. But I learned from that. Sometimes people are just having a bad day. Just let it go. Just let it go. Amen. Everybody say, let it go.
Let it go.
That's what we got to do, is just let it go. Amen. That's all forgiveness is. It's not feeling better about it. As a matter of fact, this was from Corey Ten Boom too. Let me see here. Oh, here's what she said. She was an expert at this. She had to be. She said, real forgiveness doesn't excuse the wrong. It just refuses to let it control your life anymore. It doesn't excuse it. It doesn't mean, hey, I'm okay with what you did. But it's like, I'm not going to let that control my life any longer. Amen. I'm going to let go of it. I'm bigger than that because of who's inside of me. Because I have someone who forgave me a whole lot. Amen. Therefore, I got a debt. I got a duty. He told me, the one that forgave me, he's the one that told me I need to go do this for other people. He did it for me. I need to do it for other people. Amen. Now just think about it this way. What if somebody showed up in your life? Let's just say you owe for your house, you owe for your two cars, you owe for your furniture. You know what I'm saying? You can buy everything on time now. How many know that? You owe for your TV, your stereo, your kid's tricycle. The cheeseburger at Burger King. You put it on a credit card. What does life come to when you put your cheeseburger on a credit card? We are in trouble, folks, as a society. But you owe all these debts. And somebody shows up in your life and they say, I'm going to pay every bit of that off for you. All of it, I'm paying for it. Taking care of it all. All I ask is those people that owe you 5, 10, 15 bucks, those family members, drop it. That's what Jesus said. How many know how unrighteous would it be for you to get all that forgiven and you say, hey, you owe me 15 bucks. I'm going to beat the fire out of you till you pay it. How many know that's what Jesus was talking about. He said that the kingdom of heaven's like this. You have a Lord that forgave you a massive debt. Now, all those things that are done to you compared to what you owe the Lord are just minor things. Let it go. Let it go. Let's all stand up. Come up, Jill. Thank God for the Word of God that will help us live free.
That concludes today's message. For more information about Oasis Church, please visit myoasischurch.com. Thanks for listening.